Hello, this is Roger Molina on Creative Disturbance. I'm delighted today to be with Carlos Harlow here in Dallas, Texas. Carlos, maybe you could introduce yourself a little bit, and then we're going to chat about a neat project you're working on.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Dr. Molina. Yes, I'm Carlos Harlow, and thanks for having me on the show today or on the podcast. And I am a writer, a poet. I write poetry. I've been writing poetry for about, I would say, maybe 13 years now. And I do that on the side of my day job. I work at Frito-Lay, and I work in the supply chain division of that. And then also just finished up my first novel, as you mentioned, A Fortune Cookie.
Right. And so, we're doing this because as a poet and a writer, you actually chose to do a crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter to raise some money for your current project. And I was one of the donors, and as a result, I get a special version of the novel. So Maybe you can explain what the hell you're doing and how you're working with the people who donated to your Kickstarter to develop the novel.
Okay. All right. Well, the novel, I actually started writing it in January of last year, 2014, and it started out with a conversation with a friend, and basically something I never really set out to do. But we were just joking around, and he said, "Oh, why don't you think about writing a novel?" So I got the idea, finished it up in December of 2014, and I had already had the novel done really when I did the Kickstarter. So I just did it for promotional advertising use for funds for that, and then also to give people a creative way to get pre-orders. I thought, you know, people pre-order CDs all the time on iTunes, so I was thinking of creative ways to get pre-orders for the book where people could be rewarded and get some nice things. So as you mentioned, I had the alternate ending was an option. People could get T-shirts for the book. And then also at a certain tier, they could be characters in the book as well.
So that's kind of interesting, right? So, obviously you have one idea for the book, but now it's going to go in several different directions.
Yes. It's basically what's going to happen with the alternate ending is it's going to pick up at a certain point towards the end of the book. And instead of finishing with the standard ending that everybody else will get to read, only those people that pledged for the Kickstarter, they'll get the alternate ending. So they'll get a chance to read two different endings. So in essence, there's about maybe 10 pages or so of the book that'll be different from the standard version.
So as you write these other characters into the book, are you actually trying to find out something about these people, or are you inventing it?
Yes. No, and I'm really keeping it close to how the people really are. For instance, one of my friends, he's a songwriter in real life, so I kind of use that in the book. My wife, she dances, so I use that in the book. So I really try to keep it to what people really do. And those people that I may not know as well, one of the other rewards that I gave is a video chat. And through the video chat, I really learned a lot about one of the people that pledged I'd never actually met before. But I got a lot of insight into her. So I actually just wrapped up writing all the characters in last night.
Interesting. Yeah. So I think this is kind of exciting, and obviously for you, it's a bit of a departure of your normal practice. So you also have a website called Poetic. What is it called?
Poetic Expressions. Mm. Yes.
Where you've been publishing your poetry for a number of years.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. I do have my poems on there, my poetry. I have three previous poetry books. I also have a publishing company that I started called Seventh Sign Publishing a couple years ago. So I have Fortune Cookie will be the seventh book, unless I get another one before that, on that publishing company. So I have four of my own and then three from other authors. And also I do blogging about music, music culture, things like that. And also inspirational writings on there as well.
So you're truly a born digital writer, I guess. I mean, you've just grown up and you're trying all these different ways to get your creative ideas across.
Right.
And so it, presumably this is going to keep evolving as the years go on.
Yes, yes. I definitely want to try new things and change with the times and try something new, which is a big reason why I decided to go with the crowdfunding idea with Kickstarter, uh-huh. because I know that's it's big now, but I think it's going to be even bigger than people expect probably in the next 5 to 10 years.
So you're enrolled as a master's student here in the Emerging Media and Communication program here.
Yes.
You're going to be graduating in a few months, I guess, at the
yes.
end of the year.
Yes.
And as part of that, you mentioned that you're working on what's called, I guess, a capstone project. Is that right?
Right.
Called IndieBlock. You want to just talk about that a little bit? Or
sure. Okay. Yeah, it's in the beginning stages right now. But yes, it's called IndieBlock. And basically, the concept that I have for it is not necessarily a totally new concept, but I'm working on getting some new things in there that maybe haven't been done before. And what it is a resource site for independent authors who are maybe looking to self-publish or maybe even have publishing deals, but have more of an independent spirit, I guess you could say, as far as their writing goes. And they'll have this resource where they can go find graphic designers to design covers, editors, possibly agents for their books, marketing people for their books. And it'll be also a site where those people can showcase their work. So editors and graphic designers can showcase their work on the site and people can rate it and basically sift through and see who they like and also get advice too.
So one of the things that I'm involved in, which I call experimental publishing here, and so obviously this podcast is on this Creative Disturbance platform, and there indeed we just kind of felt that podcasts were now available as a form of professional publishing. It was very straightforward to do, and there are people who actually listen to podcasts whilst they're exercising or commuting or whatever. So maybe some of the people listening here at the moment are on their exercise bikes,
right.
whatever. And so... And I think it's sort of interesting we're living in this period where all the means of self-expression are changing rapidly. And so I think we need to experiment all the time with different ways of doing things. And, you know, the analogy that I make is that, you know, when the printing press was invented, it took a long time to figure out how to really use printed books.
Right.
And, you know, the novel didn't get developed until the 19th century, you know.
Right.
And so we're in the middle of this this period where who knows 50 years from now how artists and writers will express themselves, what will turn out to be the best methods. I don't know. Does that resonate with you at all? Or?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I think it's a challenge. Part of the reason, another reason why I did the Kickstarter too, is that it's a challenge, I think, to authors. We've seen a lot of musicians now, I think, take advantage of crowdfunding and basically make some really great strides with their creative projects. And I think it's something that authors should look into as well. So not just crowdfunding, but just different ways of getting their work out there, whether it's, you know, ebook form or maybe some experimental publishing of another font.
Well, in this case, you're doing more than that because you're actually
right.
then involving some people in the writing of the book since it wasn't finished.
Right, right.
And exactly, now you're rewriting, writing people into the plot line. And,
right.
And these different endings. And so, I mean, you know, over the last 20, 30 years, there's been a lot of interactive literature that's been developed. But it's not really gotten ingrained into popular practice, and so it's, you know, I think it's interesting how the crowdfunding mechanism then allows you to work. I don't know how many people donated to your campaign, but
I had about 40. It was about 40 people, I believe.
Right.
That
so
donated.
I mean, those are 40 right. interested people, right?
Right.
And so they're really right. going to read. I'm certainly going to read my version of the novel with a different ending.
Yes.
and presumably this will be a well kept secret, right? So nobody will know about
yes.
the 40 different endings.
Right. Right. Yes. It'll be a different ending, and only those people that that pledge on the Kickstarter will get that copy or that version.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's good. So the other thing that I thought we might just chat about, so as you mentioned at the beginning, you actually work in Frito-Lay. In what was it you do there?
I work in contract manufacturing, and it's under supply chain. So basically what I do is kind of the middleman between transportation and the people that produce and package the products, and also have interactions with some high-profile customers such as Sam's, Costco, Walmart, Target, and they all have their different nuances. So it's interesting working with them.
So you know, as we were chatting before, and it turns out that many people have these kind of hybrid lives where they're involved heavily in more than one activity. And often people only know you through one aspect.
Right.
And so, you know, obviously you've got a hybrid career right now with writing and publishing and working in a company like Frito-Lay. How do those cross-connect in your psyche?
Well, I'll say the main common thread I could think of is I'm always interested in what makes people tick or what makes them think or react to certain things, and even things that I watch within the company of Frito-Lay. One of our campaigns that we do is it's called Do Us a Flavor. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen it. It's big with social media. People are using even a lot of the things I'm studying here in EMAC. They're using those practices in Frito-Lay. So it's interesting.
Use of social media, you mean?
Right, yeah. Right, exactly.
Right.
They're they're voting for their certain flavors that they like.
Uh-huh.
So basically they're getting a chance to vote, and they're tweeting, and some of the rewards are maybe they'll get their tweet displayed on Times Square. So just different things like that, and how it ties into basically people's preferences or their tastes of what they like.
That's kind of interesting because, I mean, there's a real parallel, right? So,
right.
I mean, they're trying to interact with their consumers and involve the consumers in that process.
Right.
In your case, you're interacting with the readers
right.
and involving them in the writing process. So
yes.
Actually, there's sort of an analogy there.
Right. I'm interested. I like, I think I would be pretty bored if I just had a one track focus on just one thing.
The other thing you mentioned is you started a small publishing company called Seventh Sign.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, I started it in 2013, and it's kind of the reason why I'm choosing to go the route I am with my capstone as well, is because I self-published my first book, my first poetry book. And it was pretty difficult for me because I really didn't have that much knowledge of publishing. And I run into people all the time and they say, oh, I have this great story, and if I just had someone to publish it, or if I had someone to help me, then I could get it out. So that's basically my drive in forming that publishing company, is to get help for those people. So it's everything on the front end. I guess you could say it's similar to, I wouldn't necessarily call it a vanity press, but you say it's similar to that. So basically I help them find graphic designers, editors, and they get all of that done on the front end, and then they get to keep whatever profits that they make after the sale.
One of the things that I'm working on with MIT Press in our experimental publishing program is, I mean, the fact is almost all publishing today is self-published. And so, you know, and then the problem is how the good stuff rises to the top.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because anybody can put out.
So I think we're in a really interesting regime now where you know, the conventional models of going through a publisher and so on are becoming a minority practice for writers.
Right.
Obviously, there always used to be, you called it vanity publishing, but I think now that's not at all the situation. I mean, people get stuff up. And then, you know, you work your way up into with your audience and your readership. And so it's just kind of a different, writing and expression methodology. And so, you know, again, exactly how the good stuff rises to the top is the question, right? Because
right.
Sometimes the popular stuff is not the good stuff.
Right. That's true.
Okay. Well, we're nearly out of time. Are you from Dallas?
I'm actually originally from Houston, and I've been here in Dallas for Well, as long as I've been at UTD for undergrad, so about 13 years I've been here in Dallas.
What was your undergraduate degree in?
It was business administration, and I had a minor in psychology.
So you've got a really interesting mixed educational background, so excellent.
Yes.
Okay, well, Carlos, it's been great chatting with you.
Oh, thank you.
And Dr. Molina, book is coming out November 21st.
Yes.
So
yes,
if you're listening to this podcast, check it out.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Carlos.
Oh, you're welcome.